Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways. Listen, you're not going to be able to walk until you love. When you find a person that says, I'm on my way, marching up the King's Highway. If you're not loving God, you ain't marching nowhere. You're just going in circles. Get out of my way, devil and everybody else. I'm on my way. Some of the old saints, they used to have a slogan in the church I grew up with. I'm on the way. I've been in the way a long time. Anybody ever heard that? That means you've just been in the right way. Yeah, and some of them need to get out of the way and let God, you know, just get on out of the way. I've been in the way a long time. Yes, you have. Now will you please move out of the way so God can do something? But listen, you're not going anywhere until you love God. I mean, some people think they get on these big spiritual plateaus where they get to deep revelation. It will all wrap back up to the love of God. So first, we love God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. What's the first step? Learn to love Jesus. Learn to love Jesus. Somebody say, I'm going to get rid of this nicotine habit. How? I love you, Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to get out of this rut. How am I going to get out of this rut? Am I going to figure it out and have someone teach me this big teaching that's going to help me get over it? Teaching will usually help you from getting into something. Teaching will prevent us. We'll do preventive things. When you hear the word, the teaching is preventive. Listen. But love has power. Do you hear what I'm saying? Where everything else fails, love will always win. If you need a mighty move of God, develop a mighty love relationship with God. Hallelujah. To the point to where it starts to manifest. When love starts to manifest, the power of God starts to manifest. I can tell that God's going to do something super. When you see us, everybody just go out and hug somebody, love somebody. Why? Because we're having an overflow of the grace of God. And it calls it, he said, love God with all of your heart, soul, and all your mind, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. If you're completely full of the love of God, you're going to start to love everybody else around you. That thou mayest live and multiply. Live. That thou mayest have Zoe life. The life that God wants you to have and that you may multiply. God wants you to do better. God wants you to have more. Yes, he does. God said, I've come that thou mightest have life and have it more abundantly. Now, you might say, well, I'm waiting for all this abundance to come. I'm telling you, I'm looking at your face. You look a whole lot better than you did. Amen. You look a whole lot better than you did, and you haven't done anything extra than what you did before other than learn to trust God a little bit more. He said, if you learn to love God, if you love God, walk in his ways and keep his word, guess what? You will have this Zoe life, and God will bring multiplication to you. And God will bring multiplication. Now, if you find the spirit of division and subtraction in your life, in your home, in your finances, there's a love valve someplace leaking. Tighten it up that you might multiply. Just a little bit added here and there is not God's best. God wants it to be multiplied. So fix it with the love of grace of God. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now, go down to verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his what? Voice. Now we know that if you love God, you're going to do what? You're going to obey God. You don't love anybody, you don't obey. Yeah. When God says, listen, if you love me, you're going to do what I tell you to do, when I tell you to do it, how you do it, and how I tell you to do it. If you've got a spirit of disobedience in your life concerning the spirit of God, you need to work on your love factor with your creator. Love will motivate you to do the right thing. Notice that when you're overwhelmed with the spirit of God and you just sensing that real quick, God will whisper a word in your heart and you just right away, just jump right on it. Why? Because love is a motivator. Love is a motivator. So we can measure our love and our devotion toward God by the level of our obedience to the things of the Spirit, to the Word of God, and our yieldedness. Anybody ever seen people that just, old crackpots that just don't want to love anybody, just rebellious people? And anybody ever found a loving, rebellious person? No. You ever found a loving, controlling person? Well, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and those people don't have the ability to love because they're trying to control. But when you learn to release and to obey, you will find the love of God, the grace of God released over your life. Someone says, I want to improve my love relationship with God. I want to feel His Spirit move in my heart, and I want to love God. Well, first of all, let's look at a little bit of disobedience in our life. Let's correct the disobedience in our life, our yieldedness to the Spirit of God. Because I love God, I obey God. I can trust Him. Why do you say you love God? That means you can obey God. Well, when you love somebody, you can trust them. You don't call them a liar. That means that if God tells me to do this, I can do this because I know the person that I love the most will be right there when I need him the most. So I have an ability to trust him more. And when we trust someone, we can obey someone. That thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. People get so upset and they get so weaked out because if you hang around here, Jesus is going to become your life. Some people might call that cultish. Some people might call that crazy. But Jesus, that's what it's all about. He will become the center of your life, like we sung tonight. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. People say, you're always up in church because I have a better time at church than what I have with you. I'm not missing anything. You don't understand this. I'm not obligated to be there. I want to be there because He is the center of my joy. He is my life. I'm not looking for a way to get out of it. I can't wait to get in it. He is your life. There's nothing wrong with that. Somebody said, you just got to ration yourself with church. Well, you got a real problem. You've got a real problem. I'm trying to find ways to get in. That's why He blesses us so that we can get in. Why do you think you're prospered so much so you're not punching the clock every once in a while? You got a free moment that you can take to worship God. You're blessed that you might be able to praise God and worship God. That's why God wants to do good things for you. Cleave, for He is thy life. How many of you find that happening? He's the center of your life. Everything fades away, and it's just Jesus. Yeah, where do we go from here? Just praising God. Hallelujah. I mean, it just gets better and better and better. And you ain't seen, my brothers and sisters say, he'll wear out of it. He's just on a trip. When I got into this in 1975, they said he's just nuts. He's just trying to escape reality. He'll wake up nearly 25 years later. I haven't woke up yet. I'm looking for another way to get in. I think there's more out there. I'm missing out on a whole lot. Praise God. I ain't got tired yet. I'm still doing services and looking for another one. You won't grow weary in doing well. It gets better day by day, brighter by day by day. We go from glory to glory. Thank God. And it's free. He is thy life. He is thy life. You got to realize it's okay to let God become the center of your life. I tell you what, when you let God become the center of your life, you'll be able to fit everybody else in. How do you fit them in? If you're seated in Christ, everybody else fits in Christ. Don't squeeze God into your little world. You jump over to His. If you're trying to squeeze God in your little world and into your little time frame, guess what? It's not going to work. Don't squeeze God anywhere. You jump over. You come over. He got the bigger house. He's got the nicer things. It's based on what He wants. So don't squeeze Him in and fit Him over here in this little pocket. Come and hang out with me. He doesn't need to ride in your car. How many people do we know that are like that? You're not His life. He is your life. He is your life every day. Every day. When you feel like life's not worth living, look to Jesus. He's the reason to live, just to enjoy Him more. I'm so glad I've got a life and some other people need one. I tell you what, when we used to say that, I really mean it from the bottom of my life. I look at people and I say, you really need to get a life. You really need to get alive. People are hanging out at bars. They're Christian people. The ones that are just hanging around the fringe of Christianity, they're the ones that really need to get alive. I have life and life more abundantly. This joy that I have, it's so full. It's so complete. And the little bit that we allow you to see, it's greater on the inside than what it is on the outside. He is thy life. You look at somebody and say, well, who's your life? They get so upset that Jesus becomes the center of your life. Well, what are you living for? What are you living for? To punch the clock? What are you living for? To retire? Everybody living to retire. And by the time they get to retire, they're so old they can't do anything. They can barely walk to the mailbox to pick up the Social Security check. That's not God's best. When you live with Jesus, you start to live right here and right now. He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord thy God swore unto thy father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now, that's, when we heard that scripture, now that's all Old Testament stuff that we were reading. But you know, someone asked Jesus the same question. He said, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said the same thing in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now go to Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he saith unto them, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt what? Jesus said it one time, and then they asked the question to another man, and another man found this out. He said, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and in your strength. And Jesus said, hey, you've answered it right. Guess what? He said, you do this, and you're going to really live. If you do this, you will really live. This is what life is all about. Look at somebody and say, if you do this, you will live. Life will get better right away. How many of you found that out? If you do that, life will get better. It doesn't get worse. Many people hang on to Jesus. You know, he helps keep their miserable life rolling right along. No, life gets better. You know, Jesus is just there to get you to prayer. I haven't met Christians like that. I go to help Jesus. You know, Lord, I'm coming to church to tell you this is messed up, that's messed up. Everything's so worn out. I'm worn out, Lord, but I thank you. Just give me another day to live this miserable life. That's not what it's all about. He said, if you love the Lord your God, guess what? Life is going to get better. Why don't you stop thinking about your sore headache, your aching toenails, and the crick in your neck, and start to love God and let life get better. Why don't you stop thinking about everything the devil's doing in your life and just start to worship God a little bit? If you'd shut up for about 15 minutes and stop complaining and start to praising, maybe things would get a little bit better. Maybe you're making yourself sick. You talk all that negative stuff, all that complaining, all that griping, all that stuff, and wonder why you get sick. Wonder why your muscles tense up. If you just learn to love God. Somebody said, I need to take a love break. When you feel overwhelmed and it feels like life is passing you by, someone said, this ain't no life for me. I'm not going to have this no more. Anybody been there where you just had it and said, I know there's something better for me than this? You need to take a break, because there is. Said, hold on, I'm going to love God for a moment. You take a break. Stop for a minute. I love you, Jesus. You are the greatest thing in my life. You are awesome. Oh, no matter what's going on, you're an awesome God. And I guarantee as you start to do that, from that moment, life will get better. Jesus promised, he said, this you do and you will have life. And that life is just not, you'll live another miserable day. No, he was talking about you'll have that Zoe, abundant life that God wants you to have. Why don't you do it right now and make life a little bit better? Hey, you're awesome. Boy, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Do it. Make life a little bit better. It's free right now. Somebody say life is getting better right now. Because he said it would. Do it a little bit more. Do it a little bit more. Just practice. We're just practicing. Just love him, God. Just think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. And as you meditate on that, as you do that thing, there is a promise in the scripture. You didn't know that. He said, you do this, this thing that he's talking about right now, and life will get much better. You ever met people, they get in the world, they get all strung out and all weirded out. And somebody said, you need a man. Or you need a woman. You'd really chill out. You're making everybody miserable. But if you had somebody, boy, you'd be doing much better. People in the world talk like that. You all sit up here acting like you don't live on the same planet I do. That's why you're so cranky. That's why you're so upset. You need to go find yourself a man. You need to go find yourself a woman. and you wouldn't be so stressed out and so cranky. That's your problem. If you'd learn to love God. See, you don't need to go find Sister Short Skirt. Amen. You don't need to find Brother Buffed Up. Amen. You don't need to do that because Brother Buffed Up starts to sink. She's a short skirt. Wish that you could put her in a blanket somewhere sometime. Everybody gets old. Everybody gets worn out. It's not going to always be looking like that. But Jesus renews himself day by day. You do need a man, but the man you need is Jesus. You need a love that will never grow weary, that will never grow tired, and he will renew you and refresh you. I'm a single person, and I know what I'm talking about. I'm helping single people. I'm not the only single person here. I'm helping some people tonight. Sex will not relieve you like the Holy Ghost. Don't you believe that lie from the pit of hell? It's a lie from hell. Why am I getting on this? Because the Holy Ghost told me to. It's not going to make your life any better. But you can turn it over to Jesus. And it's better. It's better. Love the Lord thy God with affection and with devotion. You don't know how good God is. Loving God is better than anything. Life will get better. Life will get better. Life will get better. There's not a freak out there that could do what Jesus can do. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hold on to Jesus and give God a chance. And stop letting people talk you in all kind of mess and all kind of stuff. With Jesus, everything is all right. Aren't you glad you heard it? Life will get better. I'm on the same planet you are. And when the devil's trying to mess with your mind one day, you'll remember it. When the devil's trying to mess with your head. See, you're in church right now, but we're not always in church. We're in the real world. It's true. And it'll help you. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. This is the first. The second is like unto it. He said, do this, and you will have, and you shall live. Live. Now, we talked about earlier, if you love God, you're going to do what? Obey God. If you love God, you're going to obey God. Now, these are some of the, we found out that as we love God, as we walk for God, as we honor God, as we do these things, that God said he would multiply us. He said he would multiply us, he would increase us, and he would give us life. Matthew chapter 8. We're talking about loving God and obeying God. I tell you what, even the seas love God. It's not hard to obey God. The oceans obey God. Did he die for the ocean? Did he die for the sea? No, he died for you. But yet the oceans and the waves and the sea obey him. Listen, but the men marvel, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Say, I'm in agreement with the wind and the waves. I can flow with it because we're in agreement. The wind's obeying God, I'm obeying God. The waves are obeying God, I'm obeying God. Say, God controls everything. God controls everything. Every time you feel a breeze go by, it went by because God spoke it. Say, go to the north, go to the south, go to the east, go to the west. Even the winds and the waves obey God. Now you think about the power that he has in his voice. Think about the power that he has in his voice and the majesty and the glory that's in the essence of Jesus Christ. That when he says a word, the water responds. Everybody get yourself a glass of water and talk to it. Tell it to flip water and see what it does. Tell the water to flip. When you go outside, tell the wind, now spin around and come back again. But Jesus had that kind of power that even the winds and the waves obeyed him. The water's not too deep. It just knows the truth. Just respond that way when you find it difficult. Say, now listen, the sea is bigger than me, and if the sea obeys God, what am I having difficulty with? The ocean's been around a lot longer than I have, and will probably be here after I'm gone. It has more power than I have. Yes, it does. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's some tight stuff, and if it responds to the word of God, who am I to become disobedient? I love God, therefore I will obey God. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. Some of us Christians outdo devils. We're going to find that out. I mean, I believe they send some devils out to look at some Christian people to learn disobedience. You hear what I'm saying? I believe some demons learn how to be disobedient from Christians. Because even demons, you're going to find this out. Now, if the demons obey, my Lord, my goodness. I mean, some of y'all buck God's word, demons won't buck them. And they already know where they're going. I mean, some of y'all trip out and become disobedient. Even the demons that are fighting against him won't even challenge him. When God says jump, demons jump. And they don't love him. And you're supposed to love him. I'm not going to let a devil obey God more than I do. You know, when you see somebody just disobedient, say, let them outdo the devil. Just outdoing the devil. I mean, if Jesus had talked to a demon, they would have got that straight 15 minutes ago. Oh, but not Sister So-and-so. Why does God love us so much that we can get over like that? They just messed up once. I mean, the devil just sung the wrong song one day. I shall be like him. And it was all over. For all of them. No second chances. No rugged cross songs. They can't sing the rugged cross song. They can't do any of that stuff. It was over once and for all. But we, a different species, we got to learn to get our stuff together because we think the demons are so rough and so tough. Sometimes human beings will disobey God more than devils, and you will find that out. And they think they're going to get away with it. I mean, some of the demons' jobs are so easy. Their job is so easy. Not as hard as we think it is. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. And they were all amazed, inasmuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth the evil, commandeth even unclean spirits, and unclean spirits do what? Obey him. Now, if unclean spirits obey him, am I out of the word or am I in the word? People don't like hearing that stuff. You know, sometimes we were just to pray for people, you know, and there are some people, it was Brother Shambach one time, was going down the prayer line. And he was praying for people and telling, demons were coming out everywhere. He said, come out, come out, come out, come out. And he went to one woman and said, woman, let that demon go. Get out. He told the woman to get off the demon. Woman, come out of that devil. We like to make it so rough. Like to play all innocent. I mean, we got demons doing backflips. Even unclean spirits obey him. And we think that God's going to play games with us when he comes back again. My, my, my. Right here in the word, isn't it? So what makes you think that you can get over? The waves obey him. The winds obey him. Unclean spirits obey him. But I'm going to think about it. And yet, I'm the one that's supposed to love him. What obeys him? The wind, the waves, and unclean spirits. And I'm supposed to love him, but I do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, but yet I love him so much. Do you think Jesus knows what I'm teaching today? Do you think he knows that? Do you think we're getting over on anything with God? Let's upgrade it. Let's upgrade our obedience. Let's upgrade our devotion, our love. See, we've been looking at each other too much. And that's why we're not to measure ourselves up against other people. This is how Sister So-and-so lives, how Brother So-and-so lives. They've done it that way for years and years and years, so we're going to do it that way. And we think, boy, we really got it together. And it's a shame when a demon's got to be an example to you. Maybe we need to come up a step or two. Are y'all enjoying this? I am. Let's go on. Now listen, when we obey God, we will also have authority. You will gain authority as well. And some of you are really excited about the authority that Jesus has given to you. You will find that as Jesus spoke to the water and to the winds and to the waves, they obeyed him. When you get in sync with the Holy Ghost and you get in agreement with God, guess what? They'll obey you as well. And you're going to find that out in Scripture. You're going to stop asking devils to do stuff. You're going to start telling devils to do stuff. You need to live so much like Jesus, they don't know the difference. Is it Jesus? I don't know. Or is it Jesus just one of them old Christians? One of them old ones, you know? Wannabes. Is it really somebody that's anointed, or is it somebody that just wants to be? Listen, if we would do this, turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 6. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Obedience. When we move in faith, guess what? As God wants us to move in faith and we live the lifestyle of faith, guess what? Those things and those elements of the earth will obey us as well. But ain't no devil going to obey you when you don't obey God. They know you don't believe any of it. If they're more obedient than you are, and you're going to tell them to get out, first you got to at least become obedient. Then you tell me what to do. They're looking at us. Who do you think you are? Those that love God. Those that love God. You're going to find out this teaching that we're giving over this Sunday is a very, very, very powerful teaching. Not a little feel-good teaching. It's a powerful teaching. And what we're going to find out is the power of love and how the power of love manifests itself and the power of love works. Yeah. Notice that faith worketh by love. Many of you want to have great faith and see your faith manifest. Love God. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, even the angels, I tell you what, even the angels look at us sometimes and say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? They're amazed that he loves you so much. Why aren't they a greasy spot? This grace that you got from God, don't you take it lightly. And grace doesn't just start here on earth. It goes way beyond that little tree someplace in the Garden of Eden. The angels marvel at the grace of God. Why does he love them so much? They're so disobedient. Look at the seed of Abraham, how the disobedience, and they mock him, and they crucified him, and they done all these things to him. The devil didn't hang Jesus to a cross. You did. You got an agreement with the devil and said, let's take him down. It was your sin that did it. Wasn't what the devil sold to Eve. It was Eve's decision. Their decision did it. But yet he loves us and cares for us and gives us such mercy and gives us such grace. We don't realize how awesome our God is, how powerful our God is, and how out there we are. And we think we're doing so good because we're living in a wicked world. And we measure ourselves. You know, we're not stuck off on crack cocaine someplace, so we think we're the super Christian. God is a holy God. He deserves much more holiness, much more reverence than we could ever imagine. You measure yourselves up to the kingdom of God. Ain't nobody back-talking God in heaven. Satan himself doesn't back-talk God. He always watched himself. Even when he had a little conversation in the wilderness, he said, get thee behind me. So he said, okay, that's enough. Don't mess with God. And don't measure yourself up against some preacher. You better find out who God is for yourself in prayer and reverence him according to that. We're finding out how holy God is. When are you going to go to heaven with all this mess? What do you mean mess? Our attitude, our lack of reverence. He is a holy God, powerful God. And we're going to find out in this last hour, in this last day, just how magnificent he is and start to give him the things that he deserves, ourselves. This is why we don't see power today. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than what? Men. I always get ticked off sometimes. I'm going to tell you that straight up. You get some people, I mean, if their boss tell them to do something, boy, they do backflips. They don't want to rustle anybody's feathers. They're just it. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to God, Forget it. That's not how God moves. That's not how God moves. That's not how God existed. God is supreme until you at least give him the reverence. At least. As the police officer on the street, we'd rather obey God than men. There ain't any problem obeying people in the flesh, but it comes to obeying a spiritual father. It's amazing. You know, if a police officer's there, you go riding down the road. Amen. The police officer says, stop. You ain't going to drive your car. I mean, you're not going to tell him to move out of the way and just keep on rolling. I mean, you could be driving the speed limit the minute you see a police car. But we get in the presence of the Holy Ghost. The move of God's Spirit's on. We can do anything we want to do, how we want to do it, act any kind of way we want to act, and then say we love him. And we say, that's just because God is so merciful and he's so gracious. Does that mean that you have to be tacky? I'm talking to me too. He will always be holy. He will always be reverenced. Somebody say, I'm going to upgrade my love, devotion, respect, and reverence for God. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God have given to everybody. Get your Bible out and read that. Whom God had given to what? To those who what? Obey him. How many want more of the Spirit of God? You want more power? Obey God. You want to increase the power of God in your life? Step out in obedience. You start to obey God, and you will find the anointing of the Holy Ghost increase more. The more that you're willing to obey God in, the larger your capacity to contain the grace and the anointing and the flow of God through you will be. Whom God gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey him. He will help those that are willing to obey. How many of you wanted a deeper dose of the Holy Ghost? A stronger grace of God? I tell you what, as God's revealing these things, God said he will manifest himself in this hour. He will manifest himself in this time. He's looking for a way to manifest himself. So he's teaching us how to love him, so that when we learn to love him the right way, we'll automatically start to obey him. And as we start to obey him, he'll start to pour out more of the Holy Spirit on us, more power, more authority, more grace, that the world, this thing that the earth and all of creation has been longing to see. Maybe they're longing to see an obedient Christian. Wonder if he can do it with Christians that will obey him. Acts chapter 7, verse 39. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. We need to have this teaching in our life. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that what? What? He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I'm going to get more obedient. Say, I'm going to move in the love and the grace of God. And as I do that, I will naturally become more obedient to the Holy Ghost. To step out when he tells me to step out. To release when he tells me to release. To take in when he tells me to take in. I will become obedient to the Spirit of God. That's going to happen to you. You're not going to be the same this time next year. You're going to hear the Holy Spirit whisper in your ear. And before you know it, you're going to be doing it because you're trusting God. We're not going to be the same. I tell you what, we will be increased personally 10 times more than this as individuals. The believer should be 10 times the man of any other ordinary man. Maybe because we're a different creature, we're a different species, we're a different being. Behold, if any man be in Christ, behold, that man is a new creature. You should be able to get 10 times more things done. You should be able to think faster. Why? Because you got another thought on the inside of you. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You should be able to have to outlast the other one. Why? Because you got supernatural power that's real, that's within you. You got the power of the Holy Ghost. There is something different about you, and it should start to manifest itself. Don't get all excited just because you just like the average. It's two of you and one of them. It's you and God. And you just keeping up with the Joneses. And you got God on your side. I mean, you should be rolling. I mean, you should be carrying the Joneses with God on your side. You should be a blessing to the Joneses. You got God on the inside of you. What are you looking miserable and sad for, and cast down and depressed? Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Period. You got God on the inside of you, and by the Holy Ghost and by the revelation of the Scripture and revelation of the Word of God, you're going to learn to let a little bit of it out and to make a difference. You can have God on the inside of you all you want, but you got to learn to release the Spirit of God. Release the Spirit of God. Release that power that's abiding on the inside of you. Release it on your situation. Release it on the stock market. Release it on somebody's broken back. Release it on your typewriter. Release it everywhere you go. Release the Spirit of God. Let it out. It's real. Jesus learned how to release the anointing of the Holy Ghost from himself. One woman touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus said, "Who touched me? For virtue came out of me." Virtue came out of the hem of the garment of Jesus. He felt something out release itself. Do you know that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you? And if it dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Quickened mortal body is a powerful thing. I tell you what, it will quicken you if that Spirit dwells in you. So you say, I'm going to learn to release this mighty thing that's on the inside of me in order to make a difference. This one I got excited about. Y'all might not get excited about this, but I find the value of the Word of God. I find value in the Word of God. It's like a paycheck. I mean, it's like a tip. I mean, it's like a tip in the stock market, Brother Dean. It's the Word of God is insight into the real things. When God talks, anybody that's got some common sense will listen. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, that means you have the ability not to, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. In this wave of the Holy Ghost, we've been talking about the manifestation of God in the last hour, in the last day. We've been talking about the Holy Ghost, and we've been talking about love in the morning. Now we're figuring out how God's going to use this love to manifest the Holy Ghost. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye seeth me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye are in me. Get to the bar. And I in you. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. The one that loves God keeps his commandments. And commandments just happen when you love God. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will what? And will what? And will what? Look at that. The one that loves God, God said what? Those that love God, God promises to manifest himself to them. How many want to see God manifest himself to them? How many want to see a manifestation of God? Love God. If you love God, he promised to multiply you, And if you love God, he promised to multiply you. He promised to give you endowments of the Holy Ghost. Wow. What more could you want? Abundance, prosperity, multiplication, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Wow. That's like getting your cake and eating it too. Both of them. And it gets better than that. Not only do you have the Holy Ghost anointing on you and the spirit of multiplication on you that you'd be able to increase anywhere and in anything you do as you love God, God will start to manifest himself. Not only will he manifest his spirit, his anointing, his grace, and his power, but he said, I will manifest myself to him. Love God till he shows up. Love God to the point to where he shows up. Love God in worship. You know what? It will get better. Love God till he manifests himself, until he shows up. There have been some people that have taken a lot. There have been some monks and some saints throughout the centuries and throughout the ages that have spent their whole life doing nothing but loving God. And they've seen miraculous visions of the Spirit of God. And people say it's phony. No, they love God. They found a scripture. You're on a fairy tale someplace. They've been loving God for 30, 40 years. Just loving God. Doing nothing, living in Jesus and loving God. And he's been manifesting himself to those that love him. And God's saying to you, I want to manifest myself to you. I want to show up when you need me. Show up. See, that was prophetic even right there. If you understand the spirit of prophecy, because there was a song that was in a heart, and I thought he wanted us to do it. And I said, there ain't no way I can play that. The song says, show up. That was God leading a little, putting a little seed in my heart. I want to show up. I want to show up. I want to manifest myself to them. Yes, I want to manifest myself to them. So if you would fix your love thing and start to practice the love and devotion toward the Holy Ghost, God will do great things for you. You'll find you'll be so satisfied just to get more things, just to have abundance. Then you say, wow, not only do I have abundance in the spirit of multiplication, I'm so anointed with the Spirit of God, I got the Holy Ghost. And you think that's all, that's as far as it goes, just to have the Holy Ghost and being able to just rejoice in God and be full of the Spirit of God, Holy Ghost fire, amen, to have that. And you think that's the best there is. Ooh, I got the Holy Ghost. And God can do much more than that. God can do much more than that. Not only will he be in you, he'll be with you, and he'll manifest himself. The Lord working with them to confirm his word. He said, you got some help coming. Anybody remember that word? He is your help. The Lord himself. My God, the Lord himself will do it. Why don't you stand up and start to rejoice right where you are?